Another logo of a towering block of gold letters, 20th Century Fox. Hollywood spotlights crisscross their shining skyward beams. More words appear. A News Corporation company. Now a white-haired man jogs down a rural street as titles appear. 20th Century Fox presents... These are the days. A Robert Simmons production. Steve Martin as Thomas Baker. Cows scatter as the white-haired man runs past. Cheaper by the dozen. These are days. Bonnie Hunt as Kate Baker. Now the white-haired man jogs through town.
Morning, Tom.
Now Tom jogs past an empty diner. Later he heads down a driveway leading to a two-story farmhouse. He raises his arms victoriously.
Twelve is our number. It's the number of games my husband Tom coaches at Lincoln College every season. It's the number of times we zero out our bank account each year to make ends meet. And it's the number of kids we try to keep track of.
Inside the house, Tom kicks off his Nike sneakers. Now in a bedroom, a woman edits a manuscript.
Hey, good run?
Oh, yeah.
You need a paramedic?
No, just a pair of knees. Finish?
Still proofing, but I'm sending it to Diane today. Look at this. New clean cover, no peanut butter stains. Yet.
Hey, baby.
Baby?
You know, on the run, you know what I was thinking?
What?
He sits on the arm of her chair.
Well, we've been married, what, 5 years?
23.
23, sorry. And I think we could use a little change around here, like this lumpy old mattress. Maybe we should just, you know, get rid of it.
Don't be ridiculous, honey. You know you can just pound the lumps out of a mattress.
What do you mean? You can just pound the lumps out of a mattress?
Yeah, just randomly start swatting away, and then
it
you
just
pound.
Goes flat?
Yes, yeah.
You just randomly start swatting.
As he beats the mattress, five kids and a dog pop out.
Twelve's an insane number of kids, but having a small family was never an option for us. See, Tom loved growing up with seven brothers and sisters.
Old film shows kids at play in a pig pen.
And after my sister died, I spent most of my time wishing I had seven brothers and sisters. Tom and I met at Illinois Polytechnic University. He was a senior dreaming of becoming the head football coach there. I was a freshman dreaming of becoming a sports reporter. He wanted eight kids, I wanted eight kids. Bam. An hour after I met him, I knew he was the one. We just had family at the wedding. Oh, and Sheik McGuire, Tom's best man. What a hot dog.
In the Chicago Tribune newsroom.
A year later, we had our first, Nora.
I loved taking her to work with me.
After Charlie and Lorraine were born, we realized our dream of living in the city and having eight kids and two careers wasn't going to work. As much as we wanted our big careers, we wanted our big family more. So Tom settled for a Division III coaching job at Lincoln. I quit writing for the Tribune and moved to the country. Tom and I got busy when we moved to Midland. We had Henry, Sarah, Jake, and Mark in consecutive years. Then we went for magic number 8, and instead, we got the first set of fraternal twins, Jessica and Kim.
9 kids.
A home movie shows the couple at a hospital. Coaching football, Tom holds 2 babies.
With each child, Tom and I got further from our big career dreams. But we didn't think about that.
An assistant coach faces Tom and pumps his arms. Yeah! Tom points at his babies. In the stands, his family holds up cards. We love the coach.
We had our hands full with 9. We were happy, and we were done. Then we went to a party celebrating Sheik McGuire's appointment to athletic director at our alma mater, and, well, too many beers, and 9 months later, we had Mike. After that, Tom got a vasectomy. But he didn't hear the doctor say that it would be a few weeks before the procedure became effective.
Tom sees a scalpel and faints.
In 98, Nigel and Kyle got us to that crazy number 12. But by then, Tom and I were experts at managing chaos.
In a hallway, a boy performs martial arts moves.
Yeah! Yeah!
Let's move, Greg. Come on.
Charlie missed his curfew again last night, so take care of that.
A girl bangs a lacrosse stick against a door.
I only put on so much lip gloss, princess!
You blew my concentration.
Temper, Sarah.
Now I get to start all over again.
Wrap it up, Lorraine!
Hey, Daddy, help!
Have you seen my frog dad?
Sorry, Charlie. Nigel.
Kyle.
It's Mark.
I knew that.
As Tom enters a bedroom, a young man wakes up.
Hey, teenager. You got caught on mom radar last night. You're not going to get that scholarship if you're out late with Beth the night before a big game.
Well, I'm not so sure I even want to go to college.
The white-haired coach rolls his eyes.
Since when?
Since Beth's mom offered me a job at the auto shop.
Sounds exciting. Well, we'll talk about that after you get your full ride. And meanwhile, in by 10 on school nights, clear?
Got it.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Did I mention I don't like you very much?
Yeah, you mentioned that, yeah.
Then I'm good.
Okay, me too.
Elsewhere, a boy storms past his mother, Kate, who works on a computer.
Dude, two words. Need new skates.
Dude, three words. Paper route.
She opens an email.
Hi, can't make dinner. Hank and I are moving into our new apartment. Love, Nora.
Mark approaches.
Have you seen Beans, Mom?
Mm-mm.
Outside, sun shines on the gabled house.
Here you go, Daddy.
Hungry boy?
In the kitchen, Nigel and Kyle spill a whole bag of dog food over a bowl. Now Henry enters, playing a clarinet. His father and siblings make breakfast. One kid spreads peanut butter onto slices of bread, another sticks them on slices with jelly, and a third cuts the sandwiches in half. A fourth kid puts them in lunch boxes. At the stove, Tom salts two pans of scrambled eggs. Nigel and Kyle toss handfuls of dog food at Gunner. Lorraine enters.
I am totally aware that this family doesn't value self-presentation in the same obsessive way that I do. Fine, whatever. But one of my life goals, aside from being like a fashion guru, is to indicate to the local community that the Baker family actually owns a bar of soap. So, as self-appointed in-house rep of style and hygiene, I think I should be allotted at least 5 extra minutes in front of the mirror.
3.
Done.
Good. Now help your sister butter the toast.
Kate enters.
Sarah, your suspension from lacrosse for excessive force has been lifted, so you're going today. Henry, you have band practice, all right? I cleaned your clarinet. Please don't play it with food in your mouth again. Kim and Jessica, your teacher called and has made a request that you do not correct her in front of the class. Mike, you have show and tell today. And please, honey, remember that body parts do not count. Kyle and Nigel, you have a dentist appointment at 3 o'clock, so you're going to work with Dan.
Yeah!
The twin boys run to their father.
Yeah!
All three flex like bodybuilders.
Yeah!
And we're shooting our Christmas card today. What time's Nora coming over?
She may not make it.
She hardly ever comes home since she started dating that doorknob.
He's not a doorknob.
The man irons his jeans, Mom.
Yeah, that's weird.
Never mind. I'll shoot it without her. I'll Photoshop her in.
Honey, could you take 10 pounds off me with that Photoshop thing?
Can I be Photoshopped in?
Wait, if Sarah's being Photoshopped in, then I'm definitely gonna.
Why don't we all be Photoshopped in?
Nobody gets Photoshopped in but Nora. Everybody be here by 4.
Why do we always do our Christmas cards in May anyway?
Because the earlier we get it done, the bigger discount we get at the printers. Now let's eat.
The family gathers at a table. Kate slings toast like dealing cards. Mark sees his frog on a chandelier. The bespectacled boy inches the net of a pool skimmer toward his pet.
No, Mark!
Beans drops into a platter, splattering the family with scrambled eggs.
Get him!
As they grab at the jumping frog, food and beverages spill on the table.
He's headed for the waffles! Come on, Frog! Cut the net! Come on!
Beans leaps to a counter and topples a stack of lunchboxes.
Hot stick!
The martial arts kid throws his mom a hockey stick.
Mark, net!
I got the door covered!
I got the net!
Tom slips on some food. He gets up covered in peanut butter, jelly, and bread. His eyes shift crazily. Beans sits on the edge of the counter. As he and Tom lock gazes, the frog's rubbery chin puffs in and out. As the coach lunges, Beans hops into the air. Tom catches him in the skimmer net. He stands, his back slathered with food.
Uh-oh, Gus.
Tom faces Mark.
put beans in his cage. Now.
As Mark turns with the skimmer, the pole smashes through a row of glassware. As Tom hangs his head, a clump of scrambled eggs drops from his chin.
Is everything broken?
He looks back at his wife, who holds her eyes closed.
Teacup with the flower on it broken?
Nice move, FedEx.
Frowning, Mark exits the room with his frog in the net. The kids clean up. Later.
Okay, here we go, everyone. School, let's go.
The younger kids run out a side entrance to the porch. Jake skateboards around to the front door. Charlie exits and sees Henry.
Hey.
He turns his pudgy brother's kangaroo cap backwards.
Much cooler.
As they walk off, Kate comes outside.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Henry, here you go.
Thanks, Mom. For the record, I am so over Nora's hand-me-downs.
All right, well, you look gorgeous in anything, Lauren.
Mark passes by.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's going on? What's wrong with you, mister?
Everybody says the FedEx guy dropped me off because I don't fit in with his family.
You fit. You fit right here.
As she hugs him, yeah. Kyle and Nigel wrestle.
I call shotgun! Hide it!
All right, that's it. Hey, you two, knock it off. Mom's losing it. I'm losing it. All right, come on, break it up.
Mark walks off sadly.
Here we go. Are you okay?
Help!
I'll give you candy.
Nigel, Kyle, chill or be chill.
The twins get up.
Sure, listen to him. Mark?
He rides after his siblings on a bike.
So Nora's not coming?
Well, not exactly.
Here. She hands Tom the email.
That is so Nora. We tell them they can't sleep together when they visit, so she moves in with them.
Honey, she's just trying to have her own life.
She's too young to have her own life.
She's 22, the same age I was when I was pregnant with her.
5 minutes ago, she was sitting on my shoulders pointing at cows in Munger's field.
And then you blinked.
Yeah, enough with the blinking. No more blinking.
All right.
She watches him march toward the twin boys who sit in a Volkswagen bus. Tom stops and turns around.
You were checking me out, weren't you?
Yes, I was. You got a problem with that?
12 kids later and we still got the heat.
He pumps his fist and shakes his hips.
Woo!
As Kate returns to the house, she swivels her bottom. Tom watches as he heads to the bus. At a football field, a sign reads, Bulldogs Division III Champs, then lists 6 years from 1989 to 2002. Nigel and Kyle stand on a blocking sled as two linemen drive it back. Tom's sweatshirt reads Lincoln College Bulldogs. Later in the locker room, Nigel and Kyle follow him. The twins high-five the players. In an office, Tom sits at a desk. A balding man enters.
You're getting old and ugly.
Tom straightens and grins.
Shake.
He gets up.
Hey.
The two men hug.
Hey, what are you doing here?
What, are you still too busy being the pansy house husband to read the newspapers?
A headline reads, Illinois Poly University football coach fired.
That coach was 5-3.
That doesn't cut it. I'm trying to grow a program.
The twins run by.
Remember Shake? We played college ball together.
Yeah, the hot dog.
Tom frowns.
Mom said it first.
We're having adult time here, boys.
No idea what that means.
Well, it's this crazy thing where grown-ups actually get to have a conversation without being interrupted by kids.
Sounds wicked boring.
It is. So why don't you run along?
Mom's right. He is a wiener.
Kyle and Nigel leave.
Sorry about that. Kate likes you. It's just that, you know, she had to have the biggest stud on the team.
So she chose the third-string receiver and got all this.
He looks around the office.
So you're gonna tell me why you're here?
Lincoln's a winning machine. You think you can make our old team a champion again?
You mean coach?
Coach.
Tom's eyes shift pensively. Now he leads Kate into their basement.
Tom, what is it? Just tell me.
Okay. He turns on a washing machine. Upstairs, 7 kids listen at the door.
Dad's covering with the machines. To the chute!
Oh, go.
They run off, back downstairs.
My, this is big.
Jake McGuire wants me to coach the Stallions.
Get out.
He offered me a fat 5-year contract, housing allowance, moving expenses.
Kate, we can finally get new furniture, we can get a new car. And, get this, university employees can send their kids to school for free.
Wow.
In a chute behind them, Mike dangles upside down.
Oh, I don't know, honey. A Division I coaching job, that's a lot of pressure and a lot more hours.
Yeah, but with all the kids in school next year, we could handle more job pressure.
Yeah, but honey, Midland is our home. I mean, the kids' lives are here.
Upstairs, the kids hold a rope.
Midland has been great for raising our kids, but I never expected him to sacrifice the way that I did.
You loved your childhood.
Yeah.
He folds a shirt.
Except for this part, the raggedy hand-me-down part.
Stallion's head coach. It's your dream job, isn't it, honey?
I want this one, Kate.
Let's talk to the kids.
How do you think they'll handle it?
The kids hoist Mike up on the rope.
Come, move!
They let go. Later.
Okay, everybody, you know the drill. On three, you give me a big cheese.
Sitting on the front steps, the kids frown. A sign reads, Merry Christmas.
Jake, do you have to wear black?
Black works, Mom. Jesus, like, had his funeral on Christmas.
He died on Easter, Barbie.
Whatever.
He was resurrected on Easter, moron.
Be quiet.
Don't touch me.
Tom squints from behind a camera.
Hey, what's all the fighting about?
Exactly when did you plan on telling us about moving?
I'm not moving.
Yeah, because I'm not moving. Right? Okay.
Later, the family meets in the living room.
I'm not moving.
Charlie, Evanston is only 4 hours away. Beth can come and visit.
This isn't just about Beth, Mom. My whole life is here in Midland.
Kate pushes the speakerphone button.
Hello?
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Nora. You're on speaker.
Hi, everybody. Hank says hi, too.
As Hank plays a video game, Nora chops vegetables.
You guys are thinking about moving up here?
Yeah, you got room in that new apartment for your big old family?
Just big enough for two, Dad. How's your book going, Mom?
Actually, I just sent it to a friend who's in publishing, so we'll see.
Could we stay on subject, please? Beans' mother's buried here. I'm not splitting them up. They're family.
We can build a fancy new memorial to Pork in our new yard.
Yeah, like we could afford that.
Well, actually, we can. I'll be making enough money to do that, get you out of hand-me-downs, get Jake those new skates, and get that new car we've been saving for.
But I have friends here.
Well, honey, you'll keep in touch and you can make new friends.
No, all my friends.
Tom stands and uses a bullhorn.
Quiet!
Now look, I know you're all scared. Moving is a big deal. We're very comfortable here. I get that. And that's why I turned down a lot of other coaching offers through the years. But this is a job I wanted since we left Chicago. And in fact, it's more than a job to me. This is my team. And it's my colors. And it's the Stallions. And they're finally calling my number. And I want you to take this risk with me, because if you do, I promise you, we will be a happier and stronger family.
You promise?
I promise.
I would feel happier and stronger if we vote on it.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, well, it's the right...
We should vote. That's the only way to make this fair. It's the only way to do it. All right, we can vote. But in the end, your mother and I are going to do what we think is best for the family.
What's the point of even voting? I'm out.
Let's get out of here.
As the kids disperse, Tom takes Kate's hand and they head toward the bedroom.
Hello?
The room is empty.
Still here.
Later, Tom counts votes.
Eight no's, three yeses, and three maybes. Not exactly a mandate. Give me a pen. I'm going to change some of these.
Kate takes a box from the bedroom closet, removes a yearbook, and opens it.
What? Let's review, shall we? There we go.
A photo shows a young Tom and Kate.
I'm so glad I found someone whose dreams are as big as mine. I love you, Kate.
Kate cuddles up to him.
I always love the way you go for things, Tom. Pedal to the metal, full on, all of it or none of it. So we're doing this.
As she snuggles, he strokes her arm.
We're gonna do this.
She kisses his lips repeatedly.
We're doing it.
Oh, by the time we move, the kids will get used to the idea.
Now sitting on the porch steps, Henry plays his clarinet. Facing the sold sign in the yard, his friends play trumpet, sax, and snare drum. Nearby, Mark wears his fishing hat and holds beans.
Say goodbye to your mother, Beans.
Under a crude cross, Pork's picture lies nestled in flowers. By suspended tire swings, Lorraine hugs two girls in turn. Charlie tenderly embraces a girl with long brown hair.
Get her to the car!
Tom pulls the stubborn dog's leash.
I'm you. Get her to the car! I'm gonna. Get her to the car!
The dog stays put.
Hey, Charlie. Do me a favor and drive the Cutlass.
He tosses Charlie the keys.
Thanks for ruining my life.
In the van, Kate straps Nigel and Kyle into car seats.
Okay, well, whoever said expressing emotion was a good thing, I'd like to see.
A mover slides down the door to a truck filled with toys, boxes, and other belongings. He locks the hatch. Now Tom's van leads the trucks down a paved country road flanked by fields of crops. Later, they drive as a caravan on a highway winding toward Evanston's lakeside skyline. Trees grow generously in the city grid. The van drives down a tree-lined street.
Hey, this is our street.
At a stop sign, a sedan pulls up beside them, and two kids stare out with attitude. One wears an upside-down visor.
Are you sure we're gonna fit in here, Dad?
You'll have friends here in no time, guys.
A kid in the sedan shakes his head as he rolls up the window. Lorraine, Jake, and Mark trade worried looks. Later, the van parks near the moving trucks. Arms folded, Charlie leans against the Cutlass.
Here we are. We are here. Everybody out. I want everybody out.
They face a huge three-story house with a spired turret at one corner.
Classic.
What, did the monsters give you a good price?
All right, the twins share, but everybody else gets their own room. Now, go kill each other for the best one.
That's great.
The kids rush up the steps of the front porch.
Hey, Charlie.
Charlie languidly turns.
You're gonna need a car to visit Beth. The old's is yours now.
Tom tosses him the keys. Charlie glances skeptically.
You trying to bribe me?
His parents trade a look.
Is it working?
Charlie shrugs.
A little bit.
As he walks away, he smiles. Tom wraps his arm around Kate's shoulder as they enter the foyer. Kate crosses the varnished hardwood floor and gazes toward the staircase's polished banister. A six-lamp brass chandelier hangs from the high ceiling.
Welcome home, Kate.
Kate kisses Tom. They hug.
It's gonna be great, Tom.
Mark takes Beans upstairs.
Jessica, come here! Check this out!
This room is huge!
Can I see this one?
Whoa! Back it up, FedEx. If anyone gets the room across from me, it's Charlie. And are you Charlie? No.
Mark heads down the hall.
Nobody else gets it, okay? Look at the view from here. It's spectacular. Can I
share with you? Sarah, Kim, and Jake snatch up the last second floor rooms. At the end of the hall, Mark opens an unpainted door to a spiral stairway. He climbs to the top of the turret and opens a door to a circular room with dark walls. Scant sunlight filters through stained glass windows onto a narrow bed's bare mattress. Mark puts his shoulder bag on the bed. Meanwhile, outside, a man in a polo shirt, a woman carrying a pot of yellow flowers, and a weak-chinned boy approach. They glance into the baker's cluttered van.
Oh, God, they're fast food people.
They walk into the baker's house.
Oh. People are here!
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Tina Shank. This is my husband, Bill, and our son, Dylan.
How do you do?
We live across the street.
Thank you. This is lovely. I'm Kate. This is Tom.
Gunner jumps up on Tina.
Oh, no! Gunner!
I'm so sorry.
Are you hiding a cheeseburger anywhere on your person?
I don't eat meat.
Jake lugs a bag past Dylan.
Jake?
Dude, two words. Manners.
What's up? Want to help me unpack?
Sure.
Put your sweater on, sweetie.
He's inside, dear.
Let's start.
Okay. Kate and Tom swap an awkward look.
So, is Jake your only child?
No. We have 12.
Tina gapes.
I couldn't keep her off me.
Dressed in hockey gear, Mike whacks a ball over the banister.
Heads up!
Tom catches the ball inches from Tina's head.
Little less wrist, Mike.
Got it. Game on!
They're playing hockey in the house.
Well, if the game gets bigger than 3-on-3, then they have to take it outside.
Upstairs, Mike, Jake, and Dylan rollerblade with hockey sticks.
Dylan doesn't really care for rough play.
Dylan hits the ball, then rolls after it.
You're gonna want to stop now, dude!
He careens over the railing and hangs from the chandelier.
Hang on, buddy!
help here.
Tom runs upstairs.
Save my baby!
Don't worry, Dylan. I swing from the chandelier all the time.
Cool.
Tom straddles the railing and reaches out. Grabbing the chandelier, Tom slips. As the fixture spins, he dangles from it, facing Dylan.
So, Dylan, know any good restaurants?
As the chandelier twirls wildly, its cable loosens in the ceiling. Kate stands under Dylan.
You can let go, Dylan. I think she's got you.
As Dylan lets go, Kate catches him. The cable breaks loose, and Tom and the chandelier crash to the floor. Bill and Tina rush to their son.
Oh, sweetie, are you all right?
I'm fine, Mom.
Oh, here.
You know, for the entire minute and a half we lived here, I really hated that chandelier.
Dylan smiles and gets to his feet.
Okay, we better go. It's time for your chess lesson.
I don't have a chess lesson, Mom.
Well, then you need to practice for your chess lesson.
Come over anytime, dude.
Jake tosses Dylan's sneakers to Bill.
We'll call. Schedule a play date.
No need. Just come by anytime.
Oh, no. We'll call.
You're all invited to my birthday.
Tina and Bill drag Dylan out.
Hey, Charlie, come on down. Help me with this, okay?
Careful, honey. There's glass everywhere.
As Tom pulls his phone from his pocket, Charlie and Kate try to lift the chandelier.
Hey, Jake, what's up?
The fixture's too heavy for them.
Really? Okay, well, I'll see you there. Hey, guess what? Fox Sports wants to interview me on TV.
Tom races upstairs.
Okay, well, we got this.
Dad's got to earn a living.
Now with the Shanks.
12 kids. That's the throwback.
Irresponsible is what it is.
How come we didn't have more kids?
Because we wanted one perfect child, and that's what we got.
Dylan frowns to himself. Now a half dozen bicycles, two kiddie cars, and a scooter lie strewn about the baker's lawn. Our view passes up the house's clapboard facade with its cone roof turret. In a bedroom, a low wood plank door swings open. Clutching beans, Mark enters the dim passage just off his room. He scoots on his rear, then slides down a chute. Mark lands in a cobwebbed nook. The boy spies his parents through a grate.
Hey, I'm going to be home late tonight. I got another press conference.
Come on. Whatever happened to that stud who sat across from me at dinner every night?
He got his dream job, remember?
Mark crawls off, opens another door, and slides down again. He rolls outside through a small screen along the house's foundation. Nearby, Tom exits the house.
Bye, Dad.
See you, buddy.
As Tom keeps reading the paper, Mark hangs his head. Now Sarah and Jake lead their siblings onto the front porch. Across the way, a woman talks on a cell phone as she races down the sidewalk behind a girl on a harness.
Tell the suits I'm running about 15 minutes late.
Day 14 on the alien planet.
Where are you going?
Sign up for football. And no, you can't come.
As Charlie leaves Henry behind, Lorraine arrives.
Could this place be any more boring? There's like nothing to do around here.
I could give you a makeover.
Sarah rolls her eyes and cocks her head.
Alrighty then.
Now in a gymnasium, Charlie wears a Midland cap as he makes his way to a bannered table. The teenager fills out a form near two men dressed in Lakeside Jaguars sportswear.
Hi. Charlie Baker.
Oh, yeah, Tom Baker's boy. Redware's old buddy Shake threw him a bone.
Charlie eyes the bald coach.
Offense or defense?
Holding the other man's gaze, he shifts on his feet.
I'm a quarterback?
Yeah, well, maybe in Calpi, Illinois. This is 4A, Skippy. The bigs. Put him on defense. Cornerback.
As the second coach writes a note, Charlie starts off.
By the way, when you show up for practice, don't be wearing that hat.
Now in a packed press room, Tom and Shake stand at a podium marked with a Stallions logo.
Okay, let's see. Who's next? Yes.
It's been reported that you like to blast music in your locker room. Why?
Well, it loosens up the players and gets them psyched. Unless, of course, I start dancing, then they just get nauseous.
The other bakers watch at home.
At least we get to see him on TV.
Coach, how do you manage a family of 12 and a football team?
Well, I've got a great team here and a solid support system at home. Go to bed, kids.
Okay, you heard the coach. Off to bed. Here we go.
In Midland, we were a family. Now we're a support system?
A family is a support system, Butch.
Sarah grimaces. Mike answers the phone.
Hello? Who is this? Somebody from something, something.
Okay, shh. Hello? Yeah, hi, Diane.
Later, Tom steps into the foyer and starts upstairs. In the master bedroom, Lorraine faces Kate and a variety of dress clothing strewn on the bed.
This is business. Salmons and pinks are so homemaker. All right, focus on your navies and your grays. Navy is muscle, gray is smarts. Choose either and you'll rule the boardroom.
Tom enters.
What's going on?
Guess what? Diane Phillips called. My book's getting published.
Did I tell you we're gonna have it all?
You've never said that.
I'm telling you now, baby.
Woo!
Lorraine grins as her parents hug. Tom falls atop Kate on the bed. Lorraine looks away and bats her hands.
Oh, my God. Can you guys just please wait till I leave the room?
Can you hurry?
Ugh. All right. There's one thing.
What?
They asked me to go to New York for a few days.
Tom's lips part. He lifts his head, then straightens.
Oh.
Oh?
That was a good O. As in, okay. Yes, it's not the best timing in the world, but you're going to New York. I can handle this.
You'll manage.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't been home much, Tom, since we moved here.
He takes off his suit coat.
I mean, you're going to have to, you know, shop for school supplies, get them dressed and bathe so they're clean and put them to bed at night.
Been there, done all that.
Kate folds her hands.
You're considering this.
I'm not considering it. You're going. Nora can help me out around the house.
Kate shakes her head.
New York. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
At Nora and Hank's.
Every once in a while.
As the young man strums a guitar, Nora uses the phone.
I carve a pumpkin with a knife made of lollipop sticks.
It totally sucks. I miss you too, but I mean, I gotta get a job. Hi, Lorraine. Okay, I'll try and be there, honey. Hi, Kimmy. Yeah, I know. I haven't been very friendly recently. They are pulling me in again.
Just tell me you can't do it.
Could you guys hold on a second? That's easy for you to say. You're an only child.
Hank jots on a pad. Nora sits beside him on the sofa wearing a big grin.
It might be fun to babysit together.
No! Whoa, no! No, you know what happened last time we visited?
They're welcoming you into the family.
They set me on fire!
Just your pants.
Honey, I am an actor, okay? And sure, last time it was just my pants, but what if next time it's my face? This is the moneymaker. I'm not that good of an actor. This is how I get the jobs. I know that. I'm man enough to admit it.
Nora frowns.
Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. Please. You always do that to me. Fine. You know what? We'll go. But I'll tell you what, one thing happens and I'm gone. And no fires. And we sleep in the same room.
Nora raises the cordless phone.
Can we put Dad on?
At the Baker's, Tom huddles with Kate.
She says she'll help us out if they can stay in the same room.
Shh, no. No way. No, she knows the rules. She wants to have her own room when she's here. Isn't that sweet? No.
Okay, look, why don't you just come over on Sunday and we'll talk logistics. All right. Bye.
Tell me Doorknob Man isn't babysitting, too.
Yes, he very well might be, young lady.
And do not set his pants on fire again.
Yes.
Classic.
Kate whispers to Tom as they leave.
It was just his pants.
Sarah faces the others.
Is anybody besides me thinking our happier and stronger life was actually code for nastier and suckier?
First, Dad forces us to move. Then Mom decides to become a career person and, like, travel the globe.
Now we have to take orders from Hank, the model slash actor.
And he hates kids, too.
Nigel and Kyle bang two toys together.
Nora's blind to his evil. We have no choice but to intervene. We've got 48 hours. Let's work a plan.
The youngsters gather around the coffee table. Now in the yard, Tom faces the kids.
All right, apple smear season is officially open! Yeah!
He holds a tennis racket. As Sarah pitches, Tom whacks the apple, which splatters toward the kids.
Come on, bring on the chin music, baby. Let's go.
Tom swings at more pitches, splattering the kids with apple chunks.
Oh, it's an apple, and now it's soft.
He throttles another piece of fruit, does a shimmy, then licks the racket strings. Meanwhile, Hank and Nora pull up in a red convertible.
Apple schmear. It's the game my great-grandma Gilbert invented.
Neat.
Gunner leaps from a kiddie pool filled with dirty water.
Time out! Nora's here!
The others join Sarah in a mad rush toward the convertible. Hank leans from the driver's side window.
No. Please not touch the LeBaron. Just had a detail. Hey, well, Tom, can we please
Ask the kids to respect the perimeter around on the Baron.
Hey, respect the perimeter, kids. Come on, respect. Back up.
Nora, welcome.
Nora hands Kate a briefcase tied up in a ribbon.
Luxury automobile, kids. Your daddy's Oldsmobile.
This is for you. Congratulations.
Come on.
I want to hear all about it.
Oh, it's very fancy.
Now, about the babysitter.
Battle stations.
Sarah's siblings follow her off. Meanwhile, Mike brings out two sponges into the dirty pool water. Nearby, Hank whips off a driving glove as he walks in slow motion. On the front porch, Jake hurries off with his skateboard. Hank makes his way along a hedge where Sarah, Kim, and Jessica face him. Nora's boyfriend glances curiously at Nigel and Kyle, who hold a garden hose. Hank steps over the hose on the brick walkway where an X is painted. Mike signals Jake from across the yard.
Heads up, Hank!
Sarah tosses an apple. As Hank grabs it, Jake catches air on his board.
Go, Hank!
As Hank dodges back from the skater, the twins pull the hose taut. Hank trips and falls into the filthy pool.
Phase one, complete.
The twin girls nod. Hank lies on his back in the brown water, his hair and clothes soaked. Later in the living room, he sits uneasily in a bathrobe, facing Jessica, Kim, Mark, and Gunner. Jessica smiles.
Sorry about your clothes, Hank. We'll have them dry in no time.
Sorry about your clothes, Hank. We'll have them dry in no time.
Meanwhile, in the kitchen, Sarah grabs handfuls of raw hamburger meat. In the living room, Mark and Gunner gaze, unblinking at Hank.
What is with the staring? Just stop looking at me.
Now Jake takes a clump of meat. Now in the laundry room...
Chopsticks.
Mike hands Sarah the wooden utensils. She reaches with them into the dryer and pulls out a pair of men's boxer briefs. The boys step back as Sarah gingerly carries the underwear across the room. Henry and Jake plug their noses with wadded tissues.
Open meat bucket.
Mike lifts the trash can lid. Sarah drops in the boxer briefs.
Begin underwear soaking.
Henry submerges them in the meat with a hockey stick. Now in the living room.
So, how's the acting career going, Hank?
If it was going any better, there'd have to be two of me.
Yeah, we saw you in the commercial with the gargling, the mouthwash ad.
You know, the remarkable thing about my career is I only started acting a month ago, and I'm already on TV. It's the real deal. The career is white hot, Tom. It's on fire.
I read that most actors end up in the food service industry.
Tom gapes at Kim. Hank stares at her.
That's not going to happen to Hank, Kim.
Candidly, I think Nora's right. It's getting so as I can hardly go out in public anymore. I mean, really, with between the autograph hounds and the paparazzi.
Autographs and everything? I mean, just the one commercial and then you have paparazzi.
Yeah, I've never actually seen them, but, you know, they hide in the bush and they get their shot. The crazy thing is that now we're trying to sit at home like regular Joes, and honey, and we're watching TV, right? And boom, comes on a commercial, and bam, there's me. It's like you expect to see yourself in the mirror, you know, and you expect to be looking at the handsome devil, but not on the TV like it is. It's like bam, bam, you turn the channel, you're trying to, you know, get it out, and it's just she just keeps popping up. This is like I can run from me, but I can't hide from me.
Kate smiles.
What a nightmare.
Kate's smile melts away. Nora and Hank start kissing, then make out on the couch.
Nora, honey, you want to help me in the kitchen?
Hank and Nora continue kissing.
Nora, stop! Yeah, mm-hmm. Want to help me in the kitchen, get a pie, look at a picture of Grandma, say the rosary. Come on, kids, here we go, everybody out.
Nora follows her mother toward the kitchen. Hank leans back on the couch and faces Tom.
Tommy.
Tom points a finger and winks. Now in the basement, Sarah, Mike, Henry, and Jake blow-dry the boxer briefs.
Gunner!
As Henry and Mike restrain the dog, Jake holds the underwear on a stick.
Save it, boy!
Later, Hank comes downstairs, fully dressed.
Hey! There you go. You look as good as new.
Yeah, not as good as you, Chief.
The family sits down to eat.
Yeah, anywhere.
In the next room, Sarah and the boys hold Gunner back.
Hey, sweet.
You know what you want?
Kate, is this orange juice freshly squeezed? Nora and I are on a bit of an organic diet. We're only going with the organic, freshly squeezed. And it tastes a bit like Tropicana.
Oh, he's a winner.
Gunner struggled to break loose. Sarah faces Henry and Mike.
Release the hound.
They let go and Gunner charges.
You guys popping out another one anytime soon?
Kate and Tom gape. Hank leans back in his chair.
curiosity.
Under the table, our view gallops toward Hank's crotch. Above the table, the young actor grimaces and jostles. As Gunnar gnaws hungrily at Hank's pants, Henry, Mike, and Sarah file in and sit at the table.
Gunnar! Gunnar!
Tom and Kate swap a look.
Gunnar.
Hank frowns imploringly.
Don't be digging in.
Sorry, babe. Gunnar, stop. Sit down.
He's attacked. Stop it, Gunnar.
Hank falls off his chair and sprawls on the floor.
My hell, he's hungry.
Stop it, Gunner.
Gunner chews at the seat of Hank's pants as he struggles away on his stomach.
Gunner!
Tom and Kate wrestle Gunner off the young man, and the kids giggle. Nora gives a sharp look, and they stop. On the floor, Tom and Kate drag Gunner away from Hank's butt. Now Hank goes out the front door. Dozens of dogs charge across the lawn at him. Hank scampers to the driveway and dives through the open car window. Meanwhile, Nora exits the house, followed by her parents and prankster siblings. She stops and faces them.
Nora, we didn't want you to go!
Look, let's just get something clear. Even though you guys live near me now, I have my own life. It's mine. Not ours, mine.
Nora! Would you please get into the Baron? I beg of you!
My loyalty is to Hank now. And that's the way it's going to be.
Nora heads for the dog-swarmed car.
In the living room, now.
The kids file toward the door.
Let's go!
They run inside. In his car, Hank barks back at the dogs. Nora gets in.
Your neighborhood canines have completely ruined the LeBaron's paint job.
I'm sure my family will pay to repaint it.
Good, because I'm sure paying for your family.
What's that supposed to mean?
I think you know what it means.
Inside.
You soaked his underwear in meat. That is so wrong.
Tom paces behind the kids.
Funny, but wrong.
He faces them.
Now, who was the mastermind in the meat-soaking plot against Hank?
Holding hands and wearing matching cowboy outfits, Kyle and Nigel toddle forward. They gaze penitently at their parents.
You were the masterminds.
One stifles a laugh, the other picks his nose.
Step back, please.
The twins soberly comply. Kate smiles slightly. Tom passes behind the line of kids, sweeping his palm over each child's head.
Beep. Beep.
He moves to the twin girls.
Beep. Beep.
He comes to Sarah.
Beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep.
Sarah smiles sheepishly. Tom leans down close to her face.
You have a dark gift, Sarah Baker. But it's going to cost everyone a month's allowance.
No!
Do you want to make it too?
No!
Now, when your mother leaves tomorrow, I'm going to need everyone to pull their own weight. Now go upstairs and go to your rooms.
The kids obediently head toward the stairs. Now in the master bedroom, Tom faces Kate.
Soaking his underwear in meat? I mean, how did they come up with that? If I could just harness that ingenuity and channel it into something constructive.
Yeah, like getting somebody to help you out while I'm gone.
I can handle it, even without the better half of the tag team.
I know, honey. I'm just worried, you know? I've never left the
kids.
Honey,
it's 3 days!
I know. I'm gonna miss them.
Daytime.
Okay, I froze some dinners and make sure they get to school on time. It's their first day, so you know how nervous they're gonna be.
They pack a taxi.
Don't worry, Mom can be back from New York in 2 hours if something happens. Really, it's only 1 hour with the time difference. All right, I hugged everybody. I love you all. One more hug, and you guys pass it on, all right? All right, thank you, sweetheart. I love you.
I love you, too.
She kisses Tom.
Do I have everything?
She gets in the cab.
All right.
The kids wave goodbye. Driving off, the cabbie faces Kate.
Got the whole neighborhood out to say goodbye, huh?
Kate peers out the back window. Tom and the kids stand at the curb, gazing at the taxi. They sadly head toward the house.
Little vampire! My plan worked. She's gone. Now I can raise you children the way I want to.
Tom wrings his hands. The kids stare blankly.
Come on, it's gonna be fun. I mean, your dream has come true. Mom's gone. Weak old dad is here. You can get away with murder. You can do anything you want.
The kids stand motionless.
Dylan's birthday party is coming up. You can get all hopped up on ice cream and sugar and cake and go crazy.
Now at an elementary school, Tom drops off Mike, Mark, Jake, and the twin girls.
Your kids are gonna do great today, I promise.
As the band drives off, the kids turn and size up the school. They line up, join hands, and saunter toward the front doors. Now at Lakeside High School's parking lot, trendy teens sit on the hood of a luxury sedan. Charlie's Cutlass parks beside it.
What is that?
The teens watch Charlie and Lorraine get out of the rusty car. Lorraine glances at a dimpled-cheeked boy.
I guess he's the funniest guy in the herd.
Charlie bumps into the sedan's fender. Charlie walks away. Now among kids entering the elementary school, Mark glances left and right as he walks. The boy with the upside-down visor and his friends slam into Mark.
Walk much?
One bully takes Mark's glasses and tosses them. The bully yanks Mark's fishing hat down over his eyes. As the thugs walk away, they knock fists. Mark crouches, picks up his glasses, and puts them on. Now in a New York hotel room, Kate answers the door and faces a stylishly dressed woman holding a book.
12 kids.
Yes, I did.
Girl, I can't even manage a boyfriend.
Well, you can. Look at this room.
Oh, it's great.
Isn't it great?
Oh, listen, we've got big plans for the book.
Really?
Diane shows Kate the published book, cheaper by the dozen.
Isn't it great?
It's fantastic. I love it. Look at this.
The company wants it in stores by Christmas.
Christmas?
Yes. So tomorrow, the marketing people will bring you up to speed on the book tour.
Kate stares.
A book tour?
Yes, we've got talk shows, book signings, personal appearances, and it's only going to take a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks? Oh, no, I can't be away from the kids that long.
Kate shrugs and shakes her head.
Well, if there's no book tour, then there's no book.
Kate's eyes dart.
2 weeks?
Kate, you've been the primary caregiver for, what, 22 years? Can't Tom handle the kids for a while?
In Evanston, Mike rappels out of an upstairs window to the front yard, where one of the twin boys bounces on a trampoline. At the curb, Charlie whoops under the hood of his car. Across the street, Tina gapes.
They're all going to end up on milk cartons.
Other kids wash the family van. Nora arrives and hurries inside. In the kitchen, Tom cradles the phone on his shoulder, stirring a pot on the stove while flipping a play chart propped on Henry's stand.
Gil, Decker and Rico are playing too loose at the corners. We need to pull them in.
Sarah, dishwasher!
I'll come by tomorrow after I drop the kids off at school and we can chalk out some offense variations. All right, now I gotta go.
Dad, Nigel hit Jim with a dart, and I assume he will be punished.
Jake, get me a Band-Aid, okay? Here, go stir. You like to stir. Okay, let's take a look at it. Let's see.
Tom picks her up.
It's okay. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. It's actually not...
Dad?
Yeah?
This goo's on fire.
Oh, no, that's the way Daddy likes it. Nice and hot and nice and spicy. Yeah, here we go.
As he turns down the flame, Nora enters.
Hey, Dad.
Oh, good. Can you get a Band-Aid?
No need to say hello.
Not one other kid in this neighborhood does chores.
Well, we're not like any other family in the neighborhood.
Right, so why do we live here?
She cups a hand by her ear.
Dishwasher, now! Jessica, can you get these plates and put them on the table, please?
Sarah waves steam from the dishwasher and pulls out the rack.
What the? Mike's athletic cup? Ow!
She throws it. It lands in the pasta sauce. Oh. Tom picks it out.
Pasta de la crotch!
As he carries the dripping cup over to the counter, one of the twins comes downstairs.
Is that blood?
No, it's just like...
Blood!
Tom and Kim grimace.
Oh. Clean up on aisle 12! Anybody?
Henry enters and slips in the vomit. He looks at his coated hands.
I'm in puke!
Are you all right?
Still need help cleaning up, Dad.
No, you mopped it up enough with your back.
Henry doubles over.
Oh, disgusting! Where's the Band-Aid?
Dad, it still hurts.
Oh, here, let me... Nora, where's that Band-Aid?
Jake put a bucket on Jessica's head and it stuck. And when they have a free moment, let my parents know that I came by to tell them I got a job in an ad agency today.
As Tom faces Kim, Nora walks away.
Nora!
In the foyer, a workman hangs a new chandelier.
Dad, little help here!
Tom bumps into Jessica, knocking the bucket-covered child into the workman's ladder. The workman and chandelier crash to the floor.
Are you all right?
You are in over your head, mister.
I'm so sorry. I will call. I'm just... My wife is out of town.
Tom pulls the bucket off of Jessica's head.
Can I kill Jake now?
No, you finish washing the car first.
Dad, can you get this Band-Aid on me?
Yes, come on. Let's go. Okay, come on. Everything's going to be all right. Give me the
Band-Aid. That's the last time you put a bucket on my head.
Okay, let's see. Does that hurt?
He bandages Kim's head, then sets her on her feet. She scampers upstairs.
Hey, Nigel! Wanna play darts?
No! I'm not playing darts! I told you that!
Tom picks up the phone.
Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
No, everything's fine. I'm just here. I'm just making dinner.
Mike swings upside down in a window. Tom waves for him to get down.
How are you?
Good, I guess.
Sorry, Dad.
I mean, it's kind of weird having all this free time.
Sure, everything's all right.
Everything's fine.
Jessica clings to Jake's back with her hands tight around his neck.
No, they're like kittens.
A frisbee whizzes past Tom's head.
Well, this might be a good time then to talk about me staying a few extra days.
What?
A few extra days?
14.
A dart sticks into the floor at Tom's feet.
What did I say about throwing darts?
That's a lot of days, Kate, and a couple of key games.
All right, but I have a plan. I mean, if we just take it one day at a time, and if you start to get overwhelmed or the kids stage a coup, you call me up, I'm home, end of trip.
Spraying silly string, Nigel and Kyle chase Tom into a closet and he closes the door.
Got him in the face!
Okay, honey, thanks for doing this. Give me someone.
Oh, hey, you know what? They're doing homework right now, and it's that math trigonometry thing that you and I just aren't very good at. And it's the sweetest thing. They formed a little study group, and they're helping each other. And it's like a little mini think tank thing.
An axe lodges in the closet door.
And I just hate to break that up.
Well, give everyone my love, and you call me right after dinner, okay?
Okay, will do.
Bye.
Bye.
Come on, Dad. Don't hide in the closet.
Take you like a man.
2 weeks will go by in no time, guys. You'll see.
Yeah, right.
Sulking, Tom closes the twins' door. In her room, Lorraine sits on her bed reading a magazine.
Yeah?
Hey.
What's up?
Okay.
Come in.
Tom takes a seat on her bed.
Look, your mom's not coming home for a couple of weeks.
Lorraine bows her head.
What?
Okay. Up till now, I've been, like, mellow about this whole having-it-all lifestyle that you and Mom are currently into. A, because Sarah has the drama queen role totally covered. And B, because I've benefited from your salary spike in various shallow but nonetheless pleasing ways. But, Dad, check it out. This afternoon, Mike was rappelling from the roof. Nigel was using Kim as a human dartboard, and you employed your son as a vomit mop. Common crazy pops, but things are getting pretty twisted around here.
Tom knits his brow.
I need to hire some help.
As in a babysitter? Okay, that is so not happening. Dad, just call Mom and tell her we need her back home.
I just can't do that right now. Not with all the work she's done. It just wouldn't be fair.
Well, then why don't you spend more time at home?
Honey, that's just not an option right now. I've got a big job, a job that I love. I'm gonna have to call in some backup.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help.
Now an open phone book displays babysitting ads.
Hello. My name is Tom Baker, and I'm interested in hiring a domestic helper. I have 12 children. Actually, I'm serious. Just 12. 12. There's only two. Oh, plus 10. How many kids? Well, when you get here, we can just count them up. Well, there's 12, but one doesn't live with me, and one you never see because he's so mad. A dozen?
Tom crosses out an ad, hangs up the phone, and places an X through another. Now he hangs up repeatedly and turns page after page. He crosses out more ads.
Just 12. Hello. I'll just hang up on myself.
Tom props his head on his hand. Now in his room, Charlie takes notes. As he examines a textbook, he glances at a photo of him and Beth. Charlie drops his pen and lifts the picture. In it, Beth smiles as he kisses her cheek. The teenager sets the photo back on the headboard and returns to his homework. Now Mark enters his parents' bedroom, holding a sheet of paper.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
It's Mark.
All right, Mark, what's up?
I don't get this math homework.
Tom presses his lips together.
Hey, you know what? I've got a game I'm not nearly prepared for. Could you go ask one of your sisters to help you?
Yeah. Okay.
As Tom directs his attention to his work, Mark nods solemnly at him and leaves. Now in her hotel room, Kate tosses in bed and picks up the phone. She turns on a light and hits a button on the console.
Hello. Yeah, could you do me a favor and send up
12 pillows to 504. Yes. Thank you.
Kate turns off the light and lies down on her stomach. Daytime, Charlie heads down the messy staircase and finds a note on the end post.
Hey, kids. Time to get to work. Lorraine and Kim, you're in charge of breakfast. Henry and Jake, lunches. Charlie, and the drop-off.
Now at Lakeside.
Come on, Charlie. It's gonna be late.
Cute car seats, Baker.
You know what? We had to take our little brothers to nursery school, if that's okay with you.
What happened? Did Mommy and Daddy go back to the farm?
You know what? This whole harass the hick thing's getting pretty old.
Actually, I'm just getting started.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What else you got?
You don't want to know, man.
Oh, I want to know.
Charlie, stop. Stop. Just let it go, okay? Please.
Yeah, Charlie. Let it go and go. All the way back to Podunk.
As the dimple-cheeked boy gives a smug grin, Lorraine nudges Charlie away. Now in Tom's office.
Hey, Gil, I got a real shot with this team. They're 2-0. They're rising in the national standings, and they're taking nothing for granted.
Hey, coach.
Charlie enters.
Hey, teenager, what's up?
We need to talk.
Sure.
Look, Dad.
Hey, guys, knock it off.
I know you're all lit up about this new job. My new school.
Press is waiting, babe.
They're out there now?
Yeah, come on, get dressed.
Hey, can we do this later?
Tom looks at his watch and walks away from his son. Charlie lowers his gaze and grips a football in his palms. He turns toward the door, shrugs, and puts down the ball. Outside the elementary school, Jake, Mark, Mike, Kim, and Jessica wait by the curb. Tom pulls up in the van and they get in.
Hey, kids, how was your day at school?
I'd say the high point was that you're only 45 minutes late picking us up.
Hey, you know what? There was a pep rally at school today. There were 20,000 people in the stands, and I just couldn't leave.
Here.
Mark hands him a sheet of paper.
Hey, you did a drawing. My favorite place in the world.
He studies a picture of a farmhouse.
Is that the Midland house?
As Mark nods, Tom knits his brow. Jessica frowns and stares at her father with droopy eyes. Tom's lips tighten, and he faces forward. Later at the university, Tom races up a flight of stairs.
President Gerhardt and I have been waiting for a half an hour.
I'm sorry. I had to
get
the kids.
I know you have responsibilities at home, Bake, but this is it. This is your shot, your moment, not theirs. What's the matter with you? What are you doing? You've wanted this for as long as I've known you. I just don't want to see you blow it.
I'll work something out.
Now with Regis and Kelly.
You know, it's hard to believe someone as staggeringly beautiful as you could deliver 12 children and still look as yummy as you do.
Oh, that's so sweet. I guess the camera can't see my hips. But
tell us, did you have them conventionally?
Well, after the sixth one, they just kind of walked out.
Why don't you read us a little something from your book?
Oh, I don't know. No, people can just buy it and then read it.
Oh, come on.
You're really expensive.
Okay. Some call me a mom. Others call me a primary caregiver, but they both mean the same thing, chauffeur.
You know, it sounds like you and your husband have things under control at home.
Oh, well, you know, I'm lucky to have him. We sure do.
Kids, on the carpet, now!
Tom stands at the bottom of the stairs with his football team. Lorraine arrives with green cream on her face.
Dad! College guys? What's going on here?
Where's Charlie?
He went to Midland for the day.
Midland? It's a school day.
He hates school.
Of course, you couldn't know that because you're never home.
Well, that is about to change, Sarah Baker. Because since I can't go to work without you guys getting in trouble, and since I can't stay home without Shake bugging me, I have brought my work home with me. Guys, meet the family. Family, meet the team.
Sup, boys?
Sup.
Okay, we will be in the living room. We got a lot of work to do, and I don't want any interruptions unless it's an emergency. Clear?
The kids nod.
Okay, now go do your homework. Let's go, guys.
The kids trudge back upstairs. Now from the spire window, Mark watches the team practice in the yard.
All right, first team, line it up.
Crouching, Tom watches the team run a play.
Good, good.
Now at a game, Tom coaches his team from the sideline. Cupping his mouth, he talks into a headset. In the stands, Lorraine and the younger kids hold up the "We love the coach" signs. At home, Tom shows his team game footage. Later, he arrives home with food. The kids grab the bags from his arms. At a bar, Kate talks on her phone.
Hey, how's New York?
Now Tom carries Nigel and Kyle into their classroom. Their plump teacher smiles gently.
Okay, I gotta go now.
Outside the elementary school, Tom grins at five of his glum kids.
I love you.
The kids glower as Tom pulls away. At home, Henry stands in front of the open refrigerator and shakes his head at the empty shelves. He glares at the football team, chowing down at the kitchen table. In the yard, Tom coaches a practice as the kids look on, frowning. Sarah leans on her lacrosse stick. Tom's attention stays focused on the play. Sarah leaves. Now in a locker room, Charlie opens his locker and ears of corn tumble out. At a university football game, both sets of Baker twins hold up the signs, "We love." On the sidelines, Tom coaches. Later, just the twin boys remain with the card spelling only "We." In nursery school, the twins throw blocks at their teacher. Tom fields a call in a cell, then meets the teacher at school. One of the twins charges her.
Spitball, Missy!
Tom holds Kyle back.
We don't talk that way unless it's with humor.
Now Mark and his siblings eye the bullies.
Something tells me you had an unpleasant interaction with those boys, Mark.
They knocked my glasses off.
Jake and Mike lead the group over to the tall boys and block their path. Jake glares.
I heard you were dissing my family.
I don't even know your family, loser.
You do now! My latte!
Mike knocks a coffee cup from one bully's hand. As the Baker kids wrestle the bullies, other classmates crowd around them. In the press room, Tom answers his cell.
Coach, come on, give us a quote.
Tom turns his back. Shake eyes him angrily. Now the twin girls, Mike, Mark, and Jake, sit in the principal's office.
Violence.
Now Shake talks on the phone. Tom hangs up and rubs his brow. In the living room, Tom faces his kids.
All right, enough is enough. You're slacking on your chores. You're fighting in school. Things are out of control. As of this moment, you are all grounded.
What's grounded?
What's grounded? I'll tell you what grounded is. Except for attending games, you go to school, you come home from school, you do your homework, you do your chores, you go to bed, and that's it. Oh, yes, Sarah, I know that sucks, but that's the way it is.
Does this mean we can't go to Dylan's birthday party?
That's exactly what it means.
But we bought his presents already.
You are going to miss it.
Jessica lowers her head.
Now, go to bed.
The kids file past Tom up the stairs. Now in the master bedroom, papers and books cover the mattress. Tom sits propped against pillows, flipping through a notebook. Glancing away, he notices a newspaper and lifts it off the bed. A headline reads, "Can Baker coach two teams?" Below, one photograph shows Tom with the football team, and a second shows his family. As Tom frowns, Gunner trots in. Stopping at the foot of the bed, the dog sits and stares at Tom. Tom notices him and smiles.
Hey, Gunner. Want to get up on the bed, buddy? Huh? Come on.
As Tom grins, Gunner sits motionless.
Come on.
The dog blinks and walks out of the room. Tom's grin fades as he watches Gunner go. Now in the Spire bedroom, Mark lies awake under the covers. With one arm bent behind his head, he gazes toward the window, then turns to face a framed photo on the nightstand. In it, he and his mother sit on the couch, grinning. Swallowing, Mark gazes at the photo, then turns his brown eyes toward the ceiling. Daytime in Bill and Tina's backyard, a server walks between a pool and a string trio. As Tina moves among her adult guests, Bill yells after her.
Next year, let's book the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, too. Whatever happened to pin the tail on the donkey?
At the baker's.
And on the end around, the guard pulls. That means you, butler.
In her room, Sarah does homework at a desk. Furrowing her brow, she looks up and goes to a window. Across the street, well-dressed men, women, and children approach the Shanks walkway lined with colorful balloons. Sarah grabs her lacrosse stick and knocks on her siblings' doors. They exit into the hall.
I'm going to Dylan's birthday party. Who's with me?
Now outside, the living room windows frame a view of the football players seated with their backs to the glass. From a balcony over the front door, the kids shinny down a knotted rope to the ground. Henry tosses wrapped gifts down to Sarah. Now the nine youngest Baker kids cross the street in a single-file line, each carrying a gift. Tina opens her front door.
Oh!
The Bakers pile their presents into her arms as they enter. Mark holds a cardboard box with air holes.
Brazilian mud viper. She gets one live rat a week.
He adds it to the others. A sign on it reads, "Caution, live snake." Outside...
Hey, Dylan, want to play catch with the football I got you?
My mammy'd have to check with my dad. He'd have to check with my mom, who would say it was an inappropriate use of free time.
Sounds like a yes to me. We'll get it, Mike.
Mike hurries back into the house. As he removes Jake's present from the pile, the cardboard box falls to the floor and the snake slithers out. Back with Tom.
And O'Neill, you gotta crack the first guy that shows outside.
Tom looks out the window. Outside, party guests race from the Shanks' yard. Tom hurries to the bottom of the stairs.
Kids?
Now his guests flee across the street. Tom and the football players hurry toward the Shanks' house. In the yard, the snake slithers under people's feet. Tom and the players arrive. They spot Kyle throwing food at the guests as Nigel sprays others with a hose. Tom faces his team.
Get my kids! I'll meet you at the house! Ready!
They scatter. One player grabs Nigel. Two more pick up Jessica and Kim. Another snatches Kyle from a tabletop. Tom pushes through the panicked crowd toward an inflated castle. Sarah and other kids jump inside amid dozens of colorful balls.
Sarah Baker, off now!
No way!
Don't make me come up there!
Sarah pretends to bite her fingernails. As Tom climbs in, Sarah bounces away. Tom dives for Sarah, and she jumps out of reach. Meanwhile, a guest bumps into a helium tank, which blocks a rubbery tube connected to the castle. Inside, the floor starts to rise under Tom's feet. Sarah and the other kids move to the side as Tom stands on the top of the swelling bulge.
Oh my God, it's gonna blow!
The floor explodes, launching Tom through the air. As a football player catches a soaring guest, they both fall into the pool. Another player catches Sarah. In slow motion, Dylan looks skyward and sees Tom hurtling toward him. Now in a hospital, paramedics wheel Dylan and a football player on gurneys.
It was my best birthday ever, Coach.
Your children are never playing with Dylan again.
Sorry about your arm, Dylan.
Tom answers his cell phone.
They're bad. They're very bad.
Hello, Shake. Any idea what this could do to my program?
Don't speak. Listen. I don't want the players at your house, and I don't want your kids in the athletic department.
Reporters approach.
Coach, how will this impact Saturday's game?
Coach
Baker, what do you have to say to reports that you're simply spreading yourself to a coach?
Now at a radio station.
Sarah from Evanston, you're on with Kate Baker.
Mom, it's Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Is everything okay?
Come home immediately. I want to talk to her.
Mark tries to take the phone from Sarah. As the kids fight, Kate grins uneasily at the radio host. The phone falls.
Hello?
Now look what you did.
Sarah drops the phone pieces, and she and the others walk away, leaving Mark standing alone. Now Nora enters the house.
Dad?
Oh, Nora, thanks for coming. Thank you.
You seem kind of desperate on the phone.
Yeah, well, they're everywhere.
Nora gazes upstairs as she removes her jacket.
You guys?
Now at the football stadium, Tom sits alone on the team's bench. He looks to the scoreboard, which reads Stallions 10, Pythons 13. In the otherwise empty stands, Nigel and Kyle hit each other with the W and E signs.
I just talked to the kids. Yes, I know everything. Dylan's in the hospital, Charlie's about to be expelled, and Nora taking time off from her first real job to babysit.
Can we do this later, Kate?
No, Tom, you promised me that you would let me know if you couldn't handle it.
I'm doing the best I can. Please, let's talk later. Bye.
Tom closes his phone. On a balcony overlooking an elegant lobby, Kate faces Diane.
What's the matter?
The book tour's over for me. I'm going home.
At home, the kids carried groceries past the chandelier workman.
Gotta move on, guys. We gotta get dinner on the table.
Tom presses a button on the answering machine.
Hi, it's me. Okay, I'm coming home. Now, I know this is going to be a big strain, but the publishing company has arranged for the Oprah Winfrey Show to tape at our house tomorrow, which is, you know, great. But I'm really going to need your guys' help, okay? We're talking Baker's full force. Boys, you clean up the outside, girls the inside. I want everybody in fancy, nice, clean clothes. And Tom, if you could please just supervise this one last thing, I would really appreciate it. Okay? All right. Bye.
Sounds like somebody got his Jimmy whipped.
Tom leaves.
Jimmy whipped.
The workman falls off his ladder. The chandelier, balanced on top, tilts toward him.
Mommy!
Nighttime. In the house, Nora reads in bed. She glances over her shoulder. Outside, Hank tosses a pebble at her window. Hank rolls his eyes and looks around anxiously. He throws another pebble. Nora rolls off the bed and goes to the window. She spots Hank, grins and waves. Smiling, he waves back. He mimes a key in a lock and mouths, "Open the door." Nora mouths, "Go downstairs." Now Hank waits by the front door. The lights go on inside and Nora opens it for him. She pulls him close and they tiptoe inside. Daytime. As Charlie mows the grass, two of the other boys help clean the yard. A mailman arrives and drops mail into their box. Now in his spire bedroom, Mark leans over a clear glass tank and studies his frog.
Beans, you okay?
Now as Tom trots downstairs in a suit, Nigel and Kyle hide a ball in a closet. Facing their dad, they flex.
Go get dressed, guys.
The twins gaze sadly at each other. Now in the airport.
Hello.
Oh, it's me. Yeah. Oh, my flight was delayed. They lost my luggage. I'm getting there as soon as I can.
Henry picks up a donut.
Hey, those are for Oprah's people.
Is the house clean?
We're working on it, Kate.
Okay, I'll see you when I see you.
Tom hurries outside past his sons.
Okay, guys, good job. Now go inside and get cleaned up. Come on, hustle up, hustle up. Let's go.
Tom steps out onto the sidewalk, gazes right and left, then goes to the mailbox. Inside, Nora and Hank sleep snuggled up together. Tom comes back inside holding the mail. As he takes off his suit jacket, he furrows his brow at one envelope. Mark hurries down with beans.
I need warm water! Look out, Dad!
Mark knocks the mail out of Tom's hands.
Don't make a mess in the kitchen!
Hello? Baker House?
Yeah, you guys from Oprah?
Yes, sir.
She's really gonna be here.
Yeah, anytime now.
Okay, well, just, you know, set up anywhere.
I will do. Let's go, guys.
The crewmen enter the house.
All right, let's set up over here, guys.
Tom opens the envelope and reads a typed letter. Now he barges into Charlie's room.
Not much? You got kicked off the football team.
Wow, look, you decided to be a parent.
Let's check that attitude, Charlie.
I don't fit in this town, Dad. I'm going back to Midland.
You are not dropping out of school, and you are not walking out on this family.
What family? Since we moved here, everybody's been looking out for number one, especially you and Mom.
Your mother and I are doing what we think is best for everyone.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You did not take this coaching job for us. You took this because you were a loser in college while Shake was out there being a superstar. And if you want your shot at glory, Dad, if you want to have it all, you do what you got to do. But quit feeding us this line about being a happier and stronger family. This move was about you. And you know what? I don't have to sit here and pay the price for your life choices. I'm leaving.
Tom stops Charlie.
You're staying.
Are you gonna make me?
Charlie, I love you. I want you to have the best life you can have. And that means you are getting a diploma.
When I graduate, I'm gone.
Tom shuts his eyes, then tosses the letter away. As Charlie hurries downstairs, Henry passes him.
Hey, Charlie, am I looking okay for national TV?
Charlie brushes past his younger brother.
You know, you turned into a jerk when we moved here. Everybody turned into a jerk when we moved here.
Henry sulks away. Outside, Charlie gets into his car parked by the curb. As he speeds away, Kate gets out of a cab.
Charlie?
Inside, Tom straightens up some books.
Mom's home!
Mommy!
The girls run out to greet Kate in the front yard.
Okay, Dad is stressed to the point of a total meltdown. Charlie's like a half a step away from juvie, and Mark's frog is
okay, honey, Oprah's coming. We'll talk about it later. Here we go.
Whatever.
They enter the house.
Get everything ready. What's the deal with Charlie?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm sorry. Hi.
Hi. Charlie got kicked off the football team.
What?
Don't worry, I'm handling it.
Kate shakes her head as Tom goes to the door.
Shake. President Gerhardt.
Tom, we need a minute.
In the kitchen, Mark pets beans.
Please don't die, beans.
In the living room.
The university is prepared to make an investment in the program, but we want some assurances.
What does that mean?
We want to know that you're committed to the football program.
You have to decide who's making the bacon and who's cooking it.
Nigel and Kyle listen in.
Tom,
didn't you pick up my dry cleaning?
Yes, dear. It's in the front closet.
Well, I guess the wife just answered our question.
The wife's name is Kate Shake.
Kyle grins.
What a wiener.
Kate glares as she walks away.
I want an answer by Monday, Tom. This meeting's over.
As Tom escorts Shake and the president to the door, Kate goes to the front closet. She opens it and dozens of toys spill out. She stumbles over them to her dry cleaning.
I'm all right.
As she comes out with her clothes, she steps on a doll.
Hi,
I'm gonna go get ready.
Mark runs into Tom, spilling water from Beans' dish on him.
Oh. Sorry, Dad.
As Mark runs off, Tom gazes at his soaking wet shirt, tie, and pants. Upstairs in the hall, he finds Nora and Hank wearing their pajamas.
What's this?
Hank slept over. Do you have a problem with that?
Yes, I have a problem with that. This house is G-rated.
Oh, Chief. Look, Nora's a big girl. She can...
Now would be an excellent time for you to be very, very quiet. Chief. Now get dressed and get downstairs.
Tom walks off.
Whoa.
Tom storms into his bedroom.
I can't believe you let things get this bad around here. I can't believe it.
What can I say? You didn't pick the perfect moment to have a career.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not even going to touch that hypocrisy. You told me to go to New York. Do you remember that? Mister, I can handle it. Everything will be okay. Go, Kate, go. Help me, would you?
Kate turns her zipper to him.
You're telling me you didn't want to go to New York?
No, I want a lot of things. So do you. That's the problem.
This isn't working.
Yeah, that's my point.
I meant the zipper.
The discouraged couple spot Jessica and Kim watching from the doorway. The children scurry off.
Let's just get through the next hour, okay?
Fine.
Kate narrows her eyes at Tom's back. Later.
Okay, everybody. I know it's been a difficult day, but I need all of you, and I would really appreciate if you could just put on happy faces, all right? Everything's great. We're a big, happy family. And if you can remember all the lines I told you, nice things to say to Oprah, love your hair, things like that. If you can't remember, don't say anything. Big smiles. Let me see them.
Mom, Beans is dead.
Nobody cares about your stupid frog right now, FedEx, okay?
Stop calling me that!
Mark tackles Sarah. The TV crewmen watch. As the others start, Tom and Kate reach in to break up the arguments. One TV guy looks to his peer.
Hey! What's the name of this segment again?
One Big Happy Family?
Okay, I'm calling Oprah's people right now.
Meanwhile, Nora listens to Hank.
These families are inevitable. It's like death or taxes.
Does that mean you don't want children?
Hank peers downstairs.
Leave him alone.
Hello? Look at these. They're monsters.
Ow.
Honey, you can't want this. That's why you're with me.
Nora looks at her entangled family.
Nora, we need you down here.
She hurries past Hank.
Nigel, get off your brother's head.
Kate holds Mark near her.
Get off. Nobody cares about me. Oh, my God. Nobody cares about
Mark. What's going on?
Mark. Mark.
Lorraine and Sarah yammer at Kate. Tom reaches to pull Jessica off Jake. A TV crewman uses his cell phone.
Hey! Hey! No, you do not want to come down here.
No, it's the farthest thing from a happy family.
The two parents scramble amid their fussing children. Upstairs, Mark enters his spire room alone. He steps past the empty tank. He sits on his bed and strokes a shoebox on his lap labeled Beans. Mark huddles close over the box and sniffles. Later, Kate pulls the door shut to one of the kids' rooms. As she heads down the hallway, collecting discarded clothes, Tom falls in pace behind her.
Feel free to sleep on the couch.
You read my mind.
They diverge. Jessica faces Tom.
Daddy, are you and Mommy gonna get a divorce?
Tom's face softens. He lifts Jessica into his arms and rubs her back. Kate returns to the hallway.
Mark's gone.
As Tom lets Jessica down, Kate shows a note that reads, "Big families stink." Now Tom enters Charlie's room.
Mark's gone.
What?
Hey, Dad.
What I said before, I was out of line.
Forget it. You were right.
Tom regards his son warmly. The teenager gives a faint smile, and both men head off. Now outside, the siblings pour down the front walk carrying flashlights. As Jake hops on his skateboard, one of the younger boys runs along with the dog, now at Nora's.
Hello?
Hey, Mark ran away. Is he with you?
No. We'll come help you look.
Hank lackadaisically watches TV. He brightens as his commercial comes on.
It's me!
Aw. Oh.
Mark's missing.
Aw. Oh.
Take it to the max. Tommy.
Let's go.
As Nora hurries, Hank stays put.
I look great.
Nora stands in front of the TV.
Did you not hear me? My brother is missing.
No, did you not hear me? I'm on TV.
Nora heads out. As Hank smiles at the TV, she returns and whacks his shoulder with her purse.
What was that for?
Now Kate knocks on her neighbor's door. Tina opens up and folds her arms.
Oh, what do you want?
My son Mark ran away. He's not here, is he?
I always knew one of your kids would land on a milk carton. 12 is just too big a number.
We'll help you look for him. Come on.
It's past Dylan's bedtime, Bill.
We're gonna look for him, Tina.
Thank you. Sure.
Bill and Dylan follow Kate outside.
Let the police handle it. You'll never find him.
Oh, we'll find him. Like you said, 12's a big number.
Now with Jake.
Mark!
Meanwhile, Tom meets with a policeman.
Mark!
It's about that high, and he's got red hair and glasses, and there's a photo, and you can keep that.
Nora arrives.
No luck. I've been everywhere.
Well, thanks for looking. Where's Hank?
He's not gonna make the cut.
I hope the family isn't to blame.
They're totally to blame.
Nora smiles. Then she and Tom share a tight hug.
I have officers check the train and bus stations.
He wouldn't get on a train or a bus.
He might have. Those times when I ran away from Midland, I was going to get on a train and go to Chicago. My favorite place in the world.
Tom's eyes shift in thought.
Your favorite place in the world.
Later. In a train station concourse, Tom races past travelers. He veers up a ramped corridor toward the tracks and comes out under an illuminated sign reading Chicago. Tom halts on the platform. His nervous eyes dart left and right, then his gaze settles on a train car in front of him. Tom hurries through its open side door. On board, he follows an aisle between empty seats and luggage racks, then stops. Mark sits alone just ahead. Holding the shoebox, he notices his father. Tom moves in close, and they wrap their arms around each other. Tom stifles tears as he rubs his son's back. They separate and face each other.
You said he'd be happier. You didn't keep your promise.
I know. I'm sorry.
He holds the little runaway tightly in his arms. The train lurches into motion. Outside, Mark's window frames a view of his father taking the seat beside him. Daytime. Sunlight grazes leafless treetops on either side of the moving train. Later, their silvery rail car stops. It Its door opens, and Mark steps out into the light. As he carries the shoebox, Tom walks behind him, his hands laid gently on the boy's shoulders. On the station, a sign reads, "Welcome to Downtown Midland." As Tom follows Mark, the rest of the bakers hurry into view. Mark beams, hands the shoebox to his dad, and runs toward them.
Mom!
Kate lifts him into her arms. Mark's brothers and sisters smile at them.
Oh, I missed you, sweetheart.
Do that again. I'm going to have to pound you.
But I thought I was FedEx.
Your eccentricities and vision problems are genetic traits that could be attributed to any number of the Baker ancestors.
Yeah, I mean, without you, we wouldn't be the 12 Bakers anymore. We'd be like 11. I figured everybody hated me like Sarah and Lorraine hate each other.
There are times when I want to kill Sarah. But I'd kill for her all the time.
Come here, cutie.
Lorraine, Nora, and the others cluster tightly around him. A few paces away, Tom smiles wistfully, then steps closer. Later, the bakers gather in a circle by a tree.
Tom? Honey, you want to say something? A few words?
Sure.
Stones on a dirt mound spell Beans.
Beans was a good frog.
Tom rubs Mark's back. As he meets Kate's gaze, her hand motions for him to keep going.
Not like a lot of the, you know, bad frogs you hear about today. All hopped up. And he was lovable. He was almost human. He was like one of the family. Except that, of course, he was green and he ate flies. But he was a hopper. He hipped and he hopped. He loved hip-hop. Mark, why don't you? I think you should say something.
For a long time, you were the only person I could talk to. That's different now. But you're the one who got me through. Thanks.
Tom gives Mark's shoulder a squeeze. Nighttime. Inside the house, one of the twin boys snoozes on the foot of Tom and Kate's bed. Nearby, Tom sits in a chair looking at his yearbook. His hand strokes a page which bears the photo of his younger self and a long-haired Kate. Tom looks up. In the king-sized bed before him, Kate slumbers, surrounded by her younger children, all sound asleep. Daytime. Tom crosses a courtyard to the campus sports center. Wearing a coat and tie, he enters Shake's office, where his old friend looks up from his desk.
I'm resigning after the season, Shake.
Giving up the dream, huh?
Just going with a different one.
No regrets?
If I screw up raising my kids, nothing I achieve will matter much.
Shake gives a solemn nod.
Thank you.
They shake hands.
I'll make an announcement at the end of the week.
Back in the master bedroom at the house, Kate's twin boys pass her pillows.
Come on, keep the assembly line up here. We gotta get this done.
The other kids enter.
Where's Dad?
He went to the game.
Why didn't he ask us to go?
Because he didn't want you to be there on the day that he quits his job.
He's quitting his job?
Mm-hmm.
What would we have to do so he wouldn't quit?
I'll give up clarinet lessons.
I'll totally go back to hand-me-downs.
I'll stop punching.
Okay, ease up. Everybody, listen. Dad's a big boy, and he makes his own decisions, and he's doing this because it's what he wants.
In that case, I totally take back what I said about the hand-me-downs.
Yeah, I thought so. Anybody else want to take back their offer? Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm.
They all raise their hands. Now on the university football field, Tom strides alongside a white yardage line. Far beyond him, the stadium's raked seating rises behind a goalpost. Tom halts in his stallion sweater. A scoreboard reads Stallion 17, Ridgebacks 12. Tom's lips tighten. All around him, the stadium seating stretches, vast and empty, around the lush green playing field. Tom stands still in its center. As he pivots slowly, taking in the enormous space, his family comes into view at the sidelines. They hold the grandstand cards. The complete line reads, "We love the coach." Tom bows his head, then looks again at Kate and all of his children, showing him their message. He beckons with a friendly wag of his head. Taking the cue, the kids toss the cards aside and run toward their father. Kate follows, jogging enthusiastically with them. Tom lifts Sarah into his arms. Lorraine and Charlie pat him affectionately. Surrounded, he faces Kate, and they share a strong embrace. Later on the stairs at the Baker house, Kate hands off a lunch, gets a kiss from Tom, and sees the kids out the door.
I guess you could say that when Tom and I left Midland, we had a mess of theories about how to raise children. We still have a mess of children, but no theories.
Later, Kate types at her computer.
Sure, 12 is still our number. It's the number of months my book was on the bestseller list. It's the number of job offers Tom turned down before we found one close to home.
In the yard, the family plays football. Tom intercepts and makes a run for it. Everyone takes him down.
And each day, it's the number of times I'm thankful there's such a thing as family.
Now inside, lit candles surround a floral arrangement and a large roasted turkey. Tom sits at the head of the table in a red and white moose sweater as Kate and the older kids bring bowls of food. As Charlie chats and grins, Sarah serves Nigel Brussels sprouts. Nora helps Kyle with some food, and Henry, Lorraine, and Jake each shift happily in their seats. As Jessica shakes her head, Kim puts down a bowl of string beans. Mark adjusts his eyeglasses and laughs. At one end of the table, Tom looks out thoughtfully and stifles a tearful smile. At the other end, Kate flashes a charmed look in his direction and bounces a little in her seat. Tom nods to himself, then lifts a serving fork and carving knife and starts slicing. Out in the foyer, a wreath of paper letters atop their two-story tree reads, "The Bakers." A chandelier hanging beside the treetop drops. In an outtake, Charlie and Henry get buffeted with scrambled eggs. Charlie laughs as he wipes off Henry's face. Lorraine laughs as eggs drop from her hair. Kate winces by the egg-splattered wall. Another scene.
Yeah, you got room for all your big old family in that new apartment?
You're on camera here, Steve. So
I'm sorry.
You
I am.
Idiot.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you got room in your new apartment for that
battle axe of a wife of mine?
You got.
Now the twins.
Act angry, not grumpy.
I really am grumpy.
Well, that's good.
Two times.
Ready?
Then going outside.
Yeah. Actually, we're almost done, so let's do it. All right. On your mark, get set, go.
I don't want to move.
Good job. Okay.
I listen. Good. I listen in the goodest.
Now one twin covers fake vomit on its lips.
I don't want to do it anymore.
One more time. Last one, and you're out of here.
He shakes his head. Okay. Now Mark nearly drops the frog.
Cut! Somebody help me!
Lorraine faces Kate.
Whoa! Just for the record, Mom.
Be careful, Pally. Slow down on that stuff. I'm not gonna remember a damn thing in school if you suck them back like I do.
Tom lectures the stallions.
Now on the end around, the guard pulled. That means you, Butler.
Tom punches a player's pads, winces, and shakes out his hand.
Action!
Frankly, I'm concerned. I go around those kids, they start beating on me. What if I get a black eye? Frankly, I'm concerned, honey. We go around the kids, they set me on fire, they beat me. They're abusive. This is how I get jobs, right here. I'm sorry, I looked at myself in the camera. I'm so good looking. They set
now
me
with
on
the broken
fire.
Chandelier.
All the kids are acting ducky. Maybe we can just roll ourselves in duct tape, and then I can just roll you across the floor.
Together, maybe.
Tom Welling dips Bonnie Hunt in a mock passionate embrace. Jake and Mike leap a step on their inline skates. Dylan leaps off balance. Remaining opening titles. Casting by Nancy Klopper, CSA. Music by Christoph Beck. Music supervisor, Dave Jordan. Costume designer, Sonia Makovic-Hayes. Co-producer, Ira Schumann. Edited by George Folsey Jr., ACE. Production designer, Nina Russo. Director of photography, Jonathan Brown. Produced by Robert Simons, Michael Barnathan, and Ben Myron. Based upon the novel by Frank Bunker Gilbreath Jr. and Ernestine Gilbreath Carey. Screen story by Craig Tightly. Screenplay by Sam Harper and Joel Cohen and Alex Sokolow. Directed by Sean Levy. Credits: Steve Martin as Tom Baker, Bonnie Hunt as Kate Baker, Piper Pirabo as Nora Baker, Tom Welling as Charlie Baker, Hilary Duff as Lorraine Baker, Kevin G. Schmidt as Henry Baker, Allison Stoner as Sarah Baker, Jacob Smith as Jake Baker, Liliana Mumi as Jessica Baker, Morgan York as Kim Baker, Forrest Landis as Mark Baker, Blake Woodruff as Mike Baker, Brent Kinsman as Nigel Baker, Shane Kinsman as Kyle Baker, Paula Marshall as Tina Schenk, Steve Anthony Lawrence as Dylan Schenk, Alan Ruck as Bill Schenk, Richard Jenkins as Shake, Holmes Osborne as Nick Gerard, Vanessa Bell Calloway as Diana Phillips, Rex Lynn as Coach Bricker, David Kelsey as assistant coach, Dax Shepard as camera crew member, Elon Gold as camera crew member 2, Cody Lindley as Quinn, Adam Taylor Gordon as Cooper, Julie K. Ariscog as radio talk show host, Benjamin Fitch as reporter, Antonio Vega as police officer, David Bowe as TV interviewer, Kevin Carey as reporter number 2, Aussie Mayer as Cabby, Amy Hill as Miss Hawsey, Ted Rooney as principal, Joel McCrary as Gil, Tiffany DuPont as Beth, Sean Levy as pressroom reporter, Dylan S. Schultz as party kid, Regis Philbin as himself, Kelly Ripa as herself. Songs: These Are Days, written by Natalie Merchant and Robert Buck, performed by 10,000 Maniacs, 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall, traditional, People Come Together, music, M. Costanzo, lyrics, M. Costanzo, P. Ray, M. Sufiala, M. Wilson, S. Costanzo, J. Post, M. Taylor, K. Farid, A. Muhammad, R. Foster, performed by Len. Back Again, written by Norman Whitfield, Terrence Kelly, and Roosevelt Harrell, performed by Mr. Cheeks. Taps, written by Daniel O. Butterfield. Life is a Highway, written and performed by Tom Cochran. Conant Gardens, written by R.L. Altman III, Titus Prentice Glover, Willie George Hale, and J.D. Yancey, performed by Slum Village. I'm Just a Kid, written by Pierre Bouvier, Charles-André Coumeau, David DeRozier, Arnold Lanny, Sebastian Lefebvre, and Jean-François Steinko, performed by Simple Plan. All Right, Here's My Fist, Where's the Fight? Written by Maria Anderson, Josephine Forsman, Johanna Asplund, and Jenny Asplund, performed by Sahara Hot Nights. Someone Like Me, written by Leah Longo, Dan Cinelli, and Rad Crasto, performed by Leah Longo. Help, written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney, performed by Fountains of Wayne. Surfacing, written and performed by David Usher. Guaira, I Love You Too Much, written by Andre Levin, Deshemer Bueno, Rafael Torres, and Alex Mosquera, performed by Yerba Buena. In Too Deep, written and performed by Sum 41. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. Copyright 2003, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation in all territories except Brazil, Italy, Korea, Japan, and Spain. Copyright 2003, TCF Hungary Film Rights Exploitation Limited Liability Company and 20th Century Fox Film Corporation in Brazil, Italy, Korea, Japan, and Spain.